It's time to go beyond happy and to live joy fully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living with host Kimberly Rinaldi here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Having created a highly successful coaching practice, now Kim teaches lessons in joyful living. She believes in empowering others and that through it, you have the ability to break through any and all barriers. What used to take weeks, months, or even years, she can now show you in a matter of hours with her programs. Kimberly can help you achieve your highest potential and move toward your soul purpose. And she provides you with tools that you can carry with you for a lifetime. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Rockstar Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome. Today is Friday, May 30th. We've only got two more days left in May. And it goes so quickly. And it is a gorgeous, gorgeous day in sunny Southern California where I am. I hope you're having a wonderful, beautiful day wherever you are. I am putting the finishing touches on some work I've been looking at for weeks and getting situated to, we announced that we are going to be launching Lessons in Joyful Living as a radio network. We're getting ready to announce an actual date for launch because we've been working behind the scenes towards that. And it's getting exciting. It's really starting to take shape. And I can't tell you, this has been the focus. From the moment I started having the conversations in July of last year, this has been kind of what I've been working towards behind the scenes with everything else. And we did the five-day-a-week launch to kind of test the waters and see how it would work. And the numbers have been great, and that's because of you, the listeners, all of you who are listening and who are sharing lessons in joyful living with everyone else. It has just been such a positive direction and feedback for me that, like I said, we started having these pre-conversations last year. And then in January, we really started looking at numbers. And March and April, we sat down and put together paperwork and strategic planning for how this was going to play out. And we're getting ready to launch. And it's very exciting. I have spent so many years of my life, because I am so goal-oriented and outcome-driven, literally looking at my goals from the rearview mirror. I typically, about 80% of the way in, not that I stopped focusing, but my efforts and energies turn towards the next thing. So I know I'm wrapping up the last of what I've been focused on and start really looking at what I'm doing next. And I made a decision this year. There were two things that were my themes. One of them was find good partners, and it's been tremendously valuable in what I'm doing, because you can't do this type of endeavor on your own. The second one is just be fully present. So even though I have an idea of what the next step is after launching a network, there are three people I've talked to about it at this point. I'm not doing any research on it yet. I'm not doing any work towards it. I'm really going to just savor this. And when we hit this goal, I'm going to spend about 6 months just being present in this goal and not jumping into what the next best, effort is. So that's an interesting place for me to come from. And I'll tell you, it's like sitting on my hands and biting my tongue all the time, because I have an idea of where we're headed next, and we're pulling in on that 80% mark of launch. So I'm ready from behavioral history to start moving towards that next step. And I've decided I'm just going to kind of sit with this for a while. I'm going to give it 6 months. We're going to wait until January of next year before we really start putting steps in place for the next big development within Lessons in Joyful Living as a business, as a company, as a direction, and as a focus in my life. So that being said, know that we will have a date announcement coming soon. And hopefully I can sit on my hands long enough for 6 months to really enjoy how that plays out. So it's exciting. It's exciting for me. It's exciting for the people around me. And I can't wait. I can't wait to give you guys a date. I can't wait to be fully integrated and launching my own programming. It's a very exciting time for me, for Lessons in Joyful Living, for all the people who are involved. And I'm very grateful to all of them. So Interestingly enough, and I think I've mentioned this, 2 years ago, because I'm only 17 months into the program, and 2 years ago, if somebody had told me I'd be doing 5 days a week, my response would have been, you know, looking at them cross-eyed and thinking, really, seriously, you should not be drinking this early in the morning. 3 years before that, if you had told me I was going to be doing radio at all, that probably would have been the same response. And here we are, 17 months after our one-day-a-week launch, we've gone to 5 days a week, and now we're heading into our own fully integrated network. So I talk about when things are right, you know it. When things are wrong, you may not know it fully. You may have little things that come up that give you a clue that things aren't working. You may have full roadblocks, but when things are right, it just falls into place. And that's kind of how it's been with the radio programming for me. What I want you to know and what I want you to really understand is I have a confession to make. I am an introvert. No, really. Seriously. I am. I get in front of people all the time and speak. I've been doing it for most of my adult life, from the time I was in my first corporate position. I stepped into the role of a trainer immediately. I stepped into the role of, you know, going out and doing public speaking immediately. How comfortable was I with it? I would throw up frequently before I left the house. I would have anxiety attacks. I would, you know, the shortness of breath, the palms sweating, the chest pain, you know, at 20, 21 years old, pretty darn sure I was having a massive heart attack. It couldn't possibly be stress and nerves and, you know, all of that. And I just knew, even though I was an introvert, if I wanted what I wanted out of life, I had to step out of my comfort zone. And I white-knuckled a lot of it, even though I had a lot of the tools that I use. I white-knuckled it because I didn't apply the tools, B, I didn't ask for help, and C, I didn't want to admit that I was such an introvert and I was so terrified. Now, okay, getting in front of 250 people to speak live, that might be frightening for a lot of people, but sometimes it would hit getting in front of a board of directors, 8 to 10 people who I knew, standing up in front of my own department, 10 to 20 people who I knew, standing up in front of other departments. I mean, I never knew when it was going to hit. And I can remember one event in particular. I was driving into LA to give a presentation for my company at another company. And these were people that I was on different corporate development programs with and different we knew each other. It was a safe environment. And I remember by the time I left the house, I was shaking and I was in tears. And I had to pull over on the freeway to throw up because, well, I didn't want to throw up in my car. By the time I got to the building, I went to a payphone and called my director and said, I can't do this. And she kind of laughed. She thought it was funny. And I said, I'm serious. I can't do this. You're 30 minutes away. I will do whatever it takes. you can have whatever you want. Just can you get here and give the presentation? I can't do this. And I have to say, she wasn't at all thrilled about this prospect. She was screaming at me, which isn't the way to handle it either. And she just didn't get it. She could not understand how I couldn't get up in front of people. But she was an extrovert. That was how she was hardwired. It was easy for her. Getting her to not talk to strangers was the hard part. It was just terrifying for me. Now, here I am, you know, 20-some years later. I'll talk to anybody. I'll get up in front of any group. I will, as you know, get on the radio and share information, inspiration, education, personal stories. And part of it was done using tools that I apply to clients, but the other part of it is it's a muscle. It really is. You have to use it. And when you get stuck in these situations and you keep repeating the strategies, you are biochemically reinforcing what it is that you necessarily don't want. So I made changes, but I'm not the only one. And there's so many other ways to change that fear of public speaking. And it's important to understand not everybody's going to get up and speak in front of 100 people, 200 people, 300 people. I just made it clear to you, I had trouble sometimes speaking in front of 6, 8, 10 people who I knew, who knew me, who we could sit and talk in a private atmosphere comfortably, easily. But standing up in front of them, I would get sweaty, I would have anxiety. And again, it wasn't consistent. It was an inconsistency. So I didn't think I had to deal with it. And I kind of liked being an introvert. So understand, you know, if this is something that at any point stresses you out, and there is a statistic out there, and I don't know how accurate it is, that more people fear public speaking than death. I can tell you there were times that I really wished the ground would just open up and swallow me, because it would have been so much easier than standing there in front of 8, 10, 20, 50, 100, 250 people and sharing what I had to share. You know, it can be a real difficulty. And when your job requires that you share that information, it can make or break your career. I've worked with clients who have fears of public speaking, and we've reversed that. We've resolved that. It's so important to understand when you face your fears, you get to a point where you can do just about anything. And that is the long way around of saying that's how I got to radio, by taking those steps and facing my fears and moving forward in that regard. And as I said, I'm not the only one. And today we actually have a friend and colleague who has essentially done the same thing. And he was in a position where he didn't have to stand up and speak necessarily, and yet he did. So I want to join to the show today, or I want to welcome to the show today and thank him for joining me, Walt Grassel. And at the age of 50, Walt chose to face his fear, which was stage fright, and it wasn't easy. He joined Toastmasters, but found that was not the only thing he needed. It simply just didn't cure him. So, welcome to the show.
Having overcome tremendous obstacles herself, she believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living, and Kimberly will be right back after these on the Rockstar Radio Network.
What does success mean to you?
Money? Power? Fame? Having everything money can buy? Does it mean having a job or career that you love? A great family life? Or simply to be happy? If you're still searching for answers, then join us each Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for Primetime Success Radio, where Alan Skidmore and his special guests will discuss health, finances, relationships, being in business, and how you can have a life that is not only successful, but a life of meaning. Alan has been studying success principles for over 25 years through reading, attending seminars, interviewing successful people, and a daily lesson from the School of Hard Knocks. And now he wants to share that information with you. So join Alan Skidmore on Primetime Success Radio every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Rockstar Radio Network, as he takes you on a journey of finding the heart of your success.
With your life? Satisfied with the direction you're taking? More importantly, are you content with the results you're seeing? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join host Brian K. Wright as he talks to experts in many areas relating to life success, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, briankwright.com. Each week is a dose of inspiration. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. Success Profiles Radio is a show that will clearly demonstrate the principle, if I can do it, you can do it. So don't miss this opportunity to take control of your life and your results. Success Profiles Radio with Brian K. Wright, Mondays at 5 p.m. Central. Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living, teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance. And know that is calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. It's Lessons in Joyful Living on the Rockstar Radio Network. And here again is your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning and welcome back. And this morning, again, as I was saying before we went into the first break, it's a hard situation. And when you face the fear, whatever that fear is, you can make amazing changes in your life. Today, I want to welcome to the show Walt Grassel. He made the decision to stand up and speak up, and joining us today, Mr. Grassel. Good morning, Walt. How are you?
Hi, Kimberly. Thanks for having me on your show, and congratulations on launching your own network.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very exciting, as you can tell. I can hardly restrain myself. I'm an introvert. You don't know that I'm excited because it's all on the inside.
I can, as a fellow introvert, I get it.
I get people all the time. They're like, you don't look excited. I'm like, you don't get it. I'm having a party inside. On the outside, I'm very calm and collected, but on the inside, I'm jumping around doing the woohoos.
Yeah, if they only knew what went on inside of us.
Exactly. So, Walt, you were 50. You decided to face your fear. You weren't in a position at work where you had to get up in front of lots of people and do this.
Well, actually, I was. And it was traumatic, and I learned, you know, all the tricks that, well, you put the information on your slides, and then, you know, back when we had transparencies, you kind of look on the overhead machine to look at your notes, because my mind would go blank and I'd be nervous. And then as we went to PowerPoint, I would, you know, look at the screen. I knew that you're not supposed to turn your back on your audience and look at your notes. That was bad. But my mind would go blank and I'd constantly be looking at my slides. What was I supposed to say next? My hands would be sweaty. My legs would be shaking. My voice would be trembling. You know, this is when I absolutely had to present to a customer. Or, you know, in spite of having this fear, I worked my way up to being a department manager of 100 design engineers. And that was all done through personal relationships. And I know, you know, you mentioned in the first segment several areas where the stage fright would show up. How about job interviews when you're interviewing for a promotion and it's just two or three people and you may know them, but just that process,
I mean, it's a situation where you know logically going in, you're in a safe environment. You actually know these people and there's no reason for it. And yet all of a sudden, there it is.
Yep. Yeah, I totally relate. And, you know, something happened right around the time I turned 50. We went through a layoff situation and I had to speak to the people who were not laid off in kind of an all-hands environment. And I did very poorly, and my boss called me on it and said, you got to do something on this. And that's when I began my journey. But had he not insisted that I do something about it, I would be probably just sitting around watching TV, playing golf in retirement. And now I'm leading, kind of like you mentioned, you're doing things that were unimaginable before. And now I'm just living the dream, doing lots of things that I would not have done as an introvert with stage fright.
Yeah, I mean, and that is the powerful thing about it. It's when you face that fear, whatever that fear is, and for some people it's public speaking. For some people it's fear of heights, fear of flying, you know, fear of clowns, whatever it is. And I'm not mocking. Phobias are unreasonable, you know, illogical fears. You know you're safe from a logical perspective, but that adrenaline release happens and the physiological response happens, and that drives the thought process, which in turn drives all of the physiology behind it again. It becomes a really, really vicious circle.
Uh-huh.
So you went to Toastmasters, you've done speaking boot camps, you've competed in speech contests, done improv, stand-up comedy at this point. And I know everyone's path is different. What would you attribute to being the most powerful tool that you found?
It's probably taking small steps in terms of the overcoming the psychology of the fear. The biggest tool that helps with when I'm in front of an audience, especially as a speaker, that helps me is to make eye contact. I went on my journey to overcome stage fright. I started out as being extremely shy. I couldn't even talk to a person, a stranger, in a checkout line at a grocery store. If they turned around and made a comment to me, I wouldn't know what to say back. If I was at a cocktail party or some event, I was the guy on the wall standing by myself hoping nobody would come up and talk to me. And that evolved to, okay, I was able to do that. And then the minute I was at a party and talking to one person and a second person showed up, it's like, oh, great. Now which one do I talk to, right? All of a sudden the problem resurfaced.
It has compounded, yeah.
So when I went on this journey and I joined Toastmasters and only gave 6 speeches in the first 18 months because I was just so afraid. I knew it wasn't going to be perfect. I was afraid of being judged. I knew I'd be nervous. Mm-hmm. And I figured if I just worked on this long enough, or I was, you know, basically just putting off the problem. But I started going to some boot camps in February of 2008. That was really a life-changing period of time for me. And I was with all these people who were speakers, and they didn't have this, they weren't dripping with charisma where I could say, oh, that's why they're good at it, or they weren't all extroverts. They were just like me. They just didn't have this fear. And I asked them for the secrets and, you know, be prepared. Look, don't make eye contact, look over the head. None of that worked, but I kind of stumbled on it, speaking at, I think, a Toastmasters meeting, where when I made eye contact with people, all of a sudden it was just like I was talking to one person at a time. And I would talk to one person, then another person. And as I got in front of bigger audiences, as I would start to look further back in the room, the eye contact got weaker and I would start to get nervous. But then I would just look at people in the front row and get that eye contact, and that would calm me down again. And that's a tip that I still use today when I'm speaking. If I just get up there and speak, it can be a little nerve-wracking unless I make that eye contact.
You know what? And that is so important. It's funny that you mentioned that, because being in public for me as an introvert, my old pattern of behavior, and I'm not kidding, was, you know, walking anywhere, standing in line, those places where people will turn and, you know, oh, you know, talk about the weather or whatever, they make the niceties and try and connect. My inner mantra was, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact, mm-hmm. because it opens you up. You become somebody that people want to connect with. Now, again, utilizing these tools, I make eye contact with everybody. I smile, I talk. Is it my natural behavior? Absolutely not. But it's something that I have developed. It's a different pattern. It's a different strategy. People who meet me now, or even in the last, you know, 20 years, because this was 27 years ago that problem was really at its height. People who meet me in the last 20 years, they just have difficulty believing that I am or ever was an introvert. And the funny thing is, I come from a family of extroverts. Even being with them used to make me uncomfortable. My mom and I were talking about that last weekend. I'm like, you people, you want to be around people. We want to be alone. And it's not that we don't like people, and it's not that we don't have fun once we're there. We just, in our minds, can't imagine being there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I love that tool. Do you find that you use that outside of your speaking as well, when you're out in public to practice and hone that little muscle?
Actually, that's the trick that I used to be able to talk to the one person. I worked at a big aerospace company with a lot of engineers, a lot of introverts, and it's funny, you'd walk down the hall and literally people would keep their head down. And so to force myself to get over this, and I'll tell a brief story on how this happened. I was working in a lab with these assembly ladies. I was a technician. I was going to school, and a guy came into the lab and schmoozed the lady for like a half hour before he asked her to do a favor. And then she came over to me and said, "Young man, when you become an engineer, don't treat people like that. You know that man, he walks by me in the hall every day and he never even looks at me and acknowledges me. But when he needs something, all of a sudden he's my best friend." So I thought, okay, what I'm going to do is when I walk down the hall, I'm going to go out of my way to make eye contact. And even if it's just nodding or saying hi, I didn't want to have a conversation, but it started getting me comfortable with people I didn't know. And later in my career, I actually was getting a snack from the snack machine, and a lady who I'd seen in the hall a lot, she came up to me and said, "Hi, my name's Felicia. What's your name?" And I said, "I'm Walt." And she goes, "Walt, I just want to tell you, you know, you're always so nice and friendly when we pass in the hall. I just wanted to introduce myself." And that was like, wow, I didn't realize it made that big of an impact. I was doing it for selfish reasons so that I'd be comfortable just talking to people I didn't know. But it did have payback. If I went and got assigned to a different program, there would be people who I had literally nodding acquaintances with that felt like they knew me, and it was much easier to work with them, and we weren't really strangers. So making eye contact, even as you're walking down the street, if you're in a mall, anywhere you can, if you are shy and introverted, that tip can be very, 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 very helpful.
You know what? And you made a point at a subconscious level that I want to sort of bring up, which is I was once told, you know, smiling at a stranger may be the one act of kindness that person receives that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you said you went into it from that self-serving, we'll call it, not selfish, but self-serving direction, where you were doing this for your own benefit, but there was a benefit to other people outside, and that was one of the reasons that I smile, I make eye contact, because I remember that, you know what, that may be the one kindness that person receives in that day. You never know.
Yep, it's win-win. Thing.
Yeah, it's a win-win. We're going into our next break. When we come back, we're talking with Walt Grassel. We're talking about how he stood up and spoke up, and we'll talk about why that is so important when we come back. So join us back in just a few moments.
Having overcome tremendous obstacles herself, she believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living, and Kimberly will be right back after these on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories, the people behind their masks, the truth about people's failures and redemptions in both their business and personal lives? Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list to Rockstar Radio Network. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
Get ready for Wise Up Radio, leveraging your learning, leadership, and legacy with Donna Kimbrand, the edgy evolutionary, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. If you're an entrepreneurial leader or visionary, stay ahead of your game with insights, tools, and strategies that give you the thought leader's edge. Each week, join Donna and her guests as she'll ask the edgy questions, help you discover game-changing shortcuts to better thinking and learning, how to explore the ripple effects of leadership excellence, and how to create your life as a living legacy, where the legacy you leave is the life you live. As thought leaders, you need strategies to help you enjoy the confidence and thrill of riding the wave of rapid change. For more on Donna, check out her website, GameChangerThinking.com. Then join the conversation and sharpen up your wits on Wise Up Radio with Donna Kimbrand, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living. teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance. And know that is calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. It's Lessons in Joyful Living on the Rockstar Radio Network. And here again is your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning. Morning and welcome back. And this morning we're joined by Walt Grassel. And Walt has come from a position of facing his fears, and his greatest fear being public speaking. At the age of 50, he had to make a change. And this was part of his livelihood. He had to make a change. And since then, Walt has performed stand-up at Hollywood Improv, the Flamingo in Las Vegas. He's performed improv and sketch comedy shows and has been accepted to study improv at the Groundlings in Hollywood. So, Walt, you also have a radio show, Stand Up and Speak Up. How did that name come to you? What does that mean to you at this point?
It's about not letting your message that you have inside you stay inside. So stand up and speak up. I'll give you an example. My guest yesterday was a guy, Dave Nassani, who's his message is about caregivers. He's a caregiver for his wife who suffered a stroke. And a big problem with people who are caregivers is that they tend to burn themselves out. They give, and they don't take care of themselves. And because he went through that process, he wants to share how he overcame that that situation, that burnout. So he's written a book. He's hosting a radio show. And if you have stage fright and you have some message to give, to share with the world, and you keep it inside you, you're not only doing yourself a disservice, you're doing the rest of the world a disservice. So it's a playoff of the fact that I use stand-up comedy and improv along with Toastmasters to help me get over stage fright. But it's really about overcoming your fears, making a difference in the world, and living a more fulfilling life. That's really how the name kind of evolved and how it really resonates with me.
You know, and I love that. And honestly, truthfully, each and every one of us comes in with a message. We come in with something that we're here to share with the world. And when you let your fears keep you from that message, you said it very succinctly, you are depriving the rest of the world from that information, that message, that spin, that turn, that experience that you bring to it. And that is a powerful thing to remember. It isn't just about you. And I talk about lessons in joyful living being that as well, that we all have that lesson that we've learned. And it's important to share it. It's so important to share it, because you might help somebody not necessarily have to do the heavy lifting in their own lives. You might help them past their point of fear. So I always say some of our greatest blessings are wrapped up in some of our greatest challenges, our greatest areas of resistance. And this has turned out to be very much the case for you. What do you see as being different about who you are today versus who you are at the age of 49?
If you would have come into my office when I was 49, before I went on this journey, and said, Walt, you will be speaking to people. Walt, you will have done stand-up comedy on anywhere, much less the Hollywood Improv in front of 200 people with a two-drink minimum. If you would have said that I would have been performing in improv and sketch comedy shows, I would have called security and said, there's a lunatic in my office. Would you please escort them out of the building and call the people with the straitjacket and have this person taken away? Because it
have
was
the
just
crazy lady removed, please.
Seriously, because, you know, I had always wanted to retire at 55. I started with my company at the age of 17. I figured 37 years is enough. And if I was financially able, I was going to retire. But I was going to sit around, watch TV, play a few rounds of golf, just kick back, enjoy, do a little volunteer work to, you know, feed that giving nature that I have, but it was going to be so low key. Now I am super busy, but it's all fun things. This, on Sunday, I got asked to be in a music video. I'm playing a producer in a promotional video for a music album that a guy's putting out, and it was through a friend in the Groundlings. And because I've taken little steps, one of my things is when opportunity knocks, answer the door, because behind that door are other doors. And every time you say yes to an opportunity, more opportunities are available. It was a lady I met at the Groundlings. We were in the intermediate class together. A friend of hers was shooting a video. They needed an older person to play a producer. And she goes, oh, you know, this guy Walt I know, check him out. He looked at my website, says, yeah, let's see if he's available. So I'm doing all this fun things that I would never have thought. I mean, I would be just sitting home now watching something or out finishing my round of golf for the morning. I mean, it's a totally different life, and I'm loving it. I tell people I'm living the dream.
Yeah, doing, you know what, and that's just it. I can't imagine. I'm 48, and I can't imagine at 55 making the decision to sit and taper it down and mm-hmm. watch the grass grow. And you know, I love that you have found this, we'll call it a rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. But do you feel that you have actually finally found what your purpose is in this life?
I don't know if that's my purpose. I guess my purpose found me, if that makes sense. When I showed up at Craig Doeswalt's boot camp for the first time in March of 2012, I just knew that I was retiring. And when people asked my story, I just said, yeah, I've overcome stage fright. I've done stand-up and improv, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do in retirement. And because my story happened to me, I don't think it's that big of a deal, right? Because if I did it, how special could that be? But it resonates with people, and I'm still having a little bit of a trouble owning that it resonates with people, but slowly but surely I'm getting it. But that there's power in just telling my story, and that's kind of what led me to – so maybe my story, my life's journey, especially this part later in life, is what's going to help people. And like my personal trainer, she listens to my show, and she'll say, oh, I heard – your guests yesterday and what they said really resonated with me. Or when I tell her what new things I'm doing, she goes, wow, that's really impressive. So the fact that just living my life and having fun doing these things is an inspiration to others. I mean, how good is that? You can help influence people's life in a good way and have fun at the same time, just living your life. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, I don't think.
Well, yeah. I mean, seriously, to wake up every morning with the get-to list versus the have-to list, I get to do this. Mm-hmm. I don't have to. I get to. And that's a beautiful perspective and a beautiful direction to come from. So at 49, this would never – it wasn't even on the horizon. You couldn't see it from where you were. You couldn't imagine it. Where you are now, where do you imagine you'll be from taking these steps, from saying yes to these things, from opening these doors? Where do you imagine you'll be 5 years from now?
I'm pretty sure I'll be speaking to audiences, sharing my message, and mm-hmm. deriving some income from doing that, which, again, is secondary. I probably will get some sort of acting or performing opportunities, because the way things are going, they're just falling in my lap. I'm going to continue on that course of study, studying improv, trying to get through the Groundlings program, maybe start auditioning for commercials and things like that, which a lot of commercial auditions, they're looking for actors with improv experience. I'm taking acting classes because I need that to help me get through the Groundlings. So I'll probably be doing some of that. I keep going back to stand-up, but it's like the lowest priority. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that in retirement I'd have to sit around and decide what things I'd have to take off the plate or put on a back burner, right?
I know, seriously, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
From watching the grass grow and golfing to, you know, I might not have time for this.
It's a great problem to have, and people from work, I go, because there have been a lot of people who've retired since I did, and they go, oh, so I ask them, what are you going to do when you retire? And they go, well, I'm definitely not going to be as busy as you are, but it's not funny. Like work. It's not like work busy. At work busy, no. You got somebody else setting your priority. You're doing things right. That maybe aren't necessarily in the workflow but need to be done for political purposes.
Right.
And it actually – they make people exercise themselves and do a lot of what's quote-unquote unnecessary work just for political gain. There's none of that. And if I don't do something, you know, it's – it's okay because I make a choice. Do I either want to do the extra work or do I want to say, you know what, this week I'm not going to publish a blog or I'm going to publish it a day later. It's not the end of the world, and it's not worth killing myself to stay with this artificial deadline. The world's not going to end if I publish my blog on Monday or on Tuesday instead of Monday, right? I mean, it's putting things in perspective, and I control my destiny, and that just makes a world of difference. And everything I'm doing, I'm choosing to do.
And that, you know what, powerful, powerful statement. I control my destiny, and everything I'm doing, I am choosing to do. And you can attribute that back to facing your fears, to making changes in your life. That power, that confidence, that ownership. And I say it all the time, when you own it, you can change it. You don't have to wait for permission from an external source. So I love where you are. I love what you're doing. When we come back, I'm going to ask you if you have any other tangible tools that you can share with our listeners to help them get over some of their fears. So join us back in just a few moments. We're speaking with Walt Grassel. We're talking about how he stood up, how he spoke up, and what that turned into for him. Everything from owning his own power to a radio show to he's doing a music video. I mean, seriously. And this is after he retired. So join us back in just a few moments. If you haven't already joined me, by all means, go to KimberlyRinaldi.com. Sign up for my VIP newsletter. Find out where I am, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it. We'd love to have you join us. We look forward to sharing our lessons in joyful living with you. And if you know someone who has a lesson in joyful living that needs to be shared, whether it's you or somebody that you believe their story could benefit others, give us a call at 888-916-4569. We'd love to discuss sharing their lesson with others as well. So join us back in just a few moments. We're speaking with Walt Grassel. We're talking about how he stood up, spoke up, and where he is now with that.
Having overcome tremendous obstacles herself, she believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living, and Kimberly will be right back after these on the Rockstar Radio Network. Information about book publishing is power. The power to change your authoring life and the power to change the lives of your readers. So join us for Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Bryles. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now. As the book shepherd, Dr. Judith Bryles is in. And each week, she will include publishing professionals that will reveal tips and secrets to the author's journey. If there is a book in you, you want to listen, learn, and yes, call in with your questions each week. For more on Judith and what she can do for you, check out her website, thebookshepherd.com. It's Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. Brought to you by Author You and The Book Shepherd with your host, Dr. Judith Bryles. Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
What does reboot mean? Ever wonder why your connection to the world through your computer does not work as flawlessly as most of your ability to breathe? ISP Radio Network explains the why and how the internet works. Learn the inside and secrets that your internet provider may not be telling you or even want you to know. Gain the confidence to proclaim that you are no longer technically illiterate. You may call him a techno gearhead or network guru, but Stephen Grabiel, your host, is a person driven by a passion to serve people fast internet, as well as empowering internet users with simple skills to maintain their fast internet. This is ISP Radio Network, a place where internet service providers and the self-proclaimed technically challenged users of the internet meet weekly to share ideas of what makes the internet work or how to make the internet work better. Don't miss ISP Radio with your host, Stephen Grabiel, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Central, right here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living, teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance. And know that is calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. It's Lessons in Joyful Living on the Rockstar Radio Network. And here again is your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning. Welcome back. And thank you for joining us. And again, if you haven't already joined me and you're in the U.S. or Canada, you can text LIJL for Lessons in Joyful Living, LIJL to 22828, and you're going to get added to that VIP newsletter as well. You'll find out where I am, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, and we would love to have you join us. So, Walt, I have mentioned that you are going to share a couple of other tips to help people get over this fear of public speaking. You shared what your journey, your path has been. What are some other tips that have been helpful for you that you've seen work for other people as well?
Well, one of them, I think probably the most important one actually is before you even get on stage. And that has to do with your mindset. And I kind of call it, just because you couldn't do something before doesn't mean you can't do it now. And what I mean by that is, if at the age of 49, if you ask me, I need you to talk to an audience, I'd say, I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't. And I find that I did that with a lot of things. I said, in first grade, I couldn't draw a cat on a homework assignment, and I cried for 2 hours trying to draw a cat, getting frustrated. My parents tried to help. But in my 20s, I actually watched this show, Imagination Station, on public television, teaching kids how to draw, and I watched it, and I played with it, and I can now make little sketches on my blog. I do these little stick figure cartoons just to do some drawing. Imagine if a baby, the first time they got up to try to walk and fell down, we'd all be crawling, right? And about the time you start to ride a bike.
That is the example I use all the time. And kids are so resilient. We're adults. I say we're that much farther from the floor, so the falls feel a little harder. We as adults have a tendency to give up more often than watching that process. So I love that you bring that up.
Yeah, and I kind of think that around the time we try to learn how to ride a bike, some of us start to, you know, we fall down and then we start to think, well, you know, I can't do this. And there's enough peer pressure and support that we actually do it. But after that, a lot of people, when things get hard, I can't, you know, I'm just not one of those people that can do this, right? And it's a lot easier to label yourself, I can't, than to go and do the work it takes to learn how to do something. So the first thing that I would suggest to people is your mind. Mm-hmm. Don't tell yourself, I can't do it. Yeah, maybe you couldn't do it, but you can do it if you work at it. And except for things like, for me, dunking a basketball, you know, there are some physical things that may limit you, but most things, the easy answer is, I can't. Stop doing that. That's number one. And the other is telling personal stories. I think when you're afraid of speaking in public, it's because you don't want people to get to know you. It gets back to that introvert thing where you want to keep your personality and what's unique about you inside, because you think people are going to judge you. And when I was told that those are the most impactful stories and the best way to connect with an audience, using personal stories really helped me, because when I would tell the story, instead of people going, oh, ha, 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 that happened to you, or making fun of me, it was like, wow, I didn't know that. That is really cool. I learned something from that. And the more you do that, the more you open yourself up to people and share what's happened to you to make your points, the better off it is. It's a more intimate connection with the audience. And it got to be so bad that when I got the results from a skin biopsy and I found I had cancer, my first reaction wasn't, oh my God, I got skin cancer. It was like, oh cool, now I have a story to share in a speech and maybe I can do a joke on this too. So,
you know, and I'm not laughing about the skin cancer, but that honestly, that is so true because it number one, it humanizes you. Number two, there are so many people out. We have 8 billion people on this blue rock that we live on, and 8 billion people currently living, that's currently living. You know, imagine all the people who have come before us and all who will come after us. Somebody, somewhere is going through something similar or at least something that they can personalize and learn from you with those stories. But that's why it's so important to share them.
Yeah, and just by the way, the skin cancer was taken off, and I'm clean, and I go see the doctor once a year, and everything's good, so don't worry about that. Right. But I just, the mindset, you know, that you have about when things happen to you, instead of feeling, oh, woe is me, my first reaction is, okay, how can I take this? What am I learning from this? And then the next time I'm in front of an audience, how can I share that with people via my blog or a speech I'm giving, or if it turns out to be an opportunity for humor, can I incorporate it into a joke? So those are some of the tips. I have more on my website on my Waltz Rules tab.
Perfect. And how do people get to that website and get the rest of those tips? We don't want to give them all away. We want people to go and find you.
Okay. I'm at waltgrassel.com, WALTGRASSL. There's no E at the end of my last name. I probably ought to buy those domain names and point them to my website because my last name gets misspelled quite a bit. But it's GRASSL.
Perfect. And you've got a ton more tips, and you've got a great blog. I've taken a look at it. You know, it's important for people to understand facing your fear, whatever it is so powerful. I'm going to ask you because I love asking authors this. There are a handful of books that I have read in my life that have absolutely changed my perspective, my perceptions, the direction I was moving in. As an author, can you share with us any particular books that you've come across that just made you look at things differently, made you say, wow?
Yeah, it's probably Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I first read that book when it came out, and in spite of my stage fright, this was pre-working on it, I actually volunteered to teach it, even though it was extremely painful. I was a facilitator because I believed in the content. Now, I read what the things the facilitator was supposed to say, so as a facilitator, I probably was on the poorer side, but I forced myself to do it because that book meant so much to me, especially the first habit about not being a victim. And you know, we're free to choose and we're responsible for our choices. If we choose to do something and it doesn't work out, that's the way life is. But you shouldn't look for somebody to come and pick you up or bail you out of your mistake. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake, you learn from it, then you make another choice. And you're always, at any point in time, free to choose what you do, how you react to what happens to you. That really, really resonated with me. And I looked at those 7 habits and I looked at it and said, okay, this one I do well, and that's why I'm somewhat successful. This one, maybe not so much. I need to maybe work on this. And the biggest part that I had a problem with was having a personal mission statement. To me, I was an introvert, but I wasn't introspective, if that makes sense. I had a hard time coming up with that. In the first 5 or 6 classes, I wouldn't do that. And finally, I said, you know what? these students are doing this. Let me sit and try and come up with a mission statement. I actually came up with one that worked for me. I said, my mission is to, let me see if I remember, it's to solve problems, help people, and learn something new every day. And that's what I took into work. It wasn't about necessarily meeting the program deadlines. If somebody needed coaching or whatever and wanted to talk, I would always make time. Or if I was really under deadline, I would say, I can't talk to you right this minute, but come see me tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock or as early as you can. And I would make time for people, because helping people is really what floated my boat. And I guess that explains why doing what I'm doing in retirement, it's in line with what my personal mission is.
I love that. And you know what? I love having a mission statement. I have a personal mission statement, a business mission statement. My husband and I have a mission statement for our marriage, for our business directions. I really do promote that with my coaching, because if you, and mission statements can change based on what your values are and where you are in life. If you have a mission statement and you really are living that, then you know what your values are, you know what's going to make you happy, and you know that you're moving in alignment with it. And there shouldn't be any question when something comes into your life, does it fit or doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Powerful stuff.
I totally agree.
Powerful stuff. And I love that book, by the way. We are coming to the end of the show, and I have to tell you, I it has been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to having you back if you'll join us.
Oh, I'd love to. It's been a great conversation. I love what you're doing, and anything I can do to help you deliver your message, I am more than willing to do that.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. And again, how do we find you? How do our listeners find you? WaltGrassel.com?
Yeah, WaltGrassel.com. It has a link to my book, to my radio show, my blog, Walt's Rules, in the media. I've had magazine articles published in trade publications, and I have a link to the article weekly version of those magazine articles as well as appearances on other people's radio shows. And I will add a link to this show on my In the Media tab so that people can come listen to it there.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us again today, Walt. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much, Kimberly, and thanks to Karina for producing.
Yes. Thank you always to Karina. She makes me sound good even when I make mistakes. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining us today on Lessons in Joyful Living. Don't forget to go out and do good things for you today. And remember, when you find your lesson, whatever it is, don't forget to share it. That's the purpose of Lessons in Joyful Living. That is why we do the show, so we can share other people's lessons as well. We are here Monday through Friday live, 10 a.m. Pacific time. You can find us on the internet, on iTunes, anytime, on demand. And listen to the show for the announcement for the launch date of the network. I'm very excited about it. And if you're out there and you're listening and you think you have a lesson or you have a program, product, or service you want to share and you think you might want to be a host, let us know about that too. Email us at info@KimberlyRinaldi.com.
Thank you for being a part of Lessons in Joyful Living with Kimberly Rinaldi here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Each week, Kimberly will be sharing from her 20-plus years in corporate and business development, decades of combined experience to help you go past happy and